My name is James Sagerton. This is the August 8th, 2023 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. We believe we have quorum, and I'm going to ask Secretary R. Paul Martin to take the roll. R. Paul?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams?
Here.
Teresa Allen?
Present.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Here.
Kamau Harris?
Here.
Julie Hewitt?
Here.
Kim Kaufman?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James McFadden?
Here.
Sean Kelly McPherson?
Indeed I am.
James Sagerton?
Here.
Okay, that's 10. You have a quorum.
Thank you, R. Paul. Okay, that's convening the meeting. Roll call. Now we're going to go to adopt the agenda. To adopt the agenda, I'm going to read the agenda. And it is number one, convene meeting. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt agenda. Number four, minutes. That's a 5-minute item. Number five, report from the executive director. That's a 30-minute item. Number six, review draft consolidated financials for the period ending May 31st, 2023. That's a 60-minute item. Number seven is consolidating bank accounts, bank comparisons. That's a 10-minute item. Number eight is adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. I'm going to move that as the agenda and ask if there are any additions, subtractions, discussion.
This is Kim. May I be recognized?
Yes, Kim.
There are a lot of rumors floating around about financial issues, and I would like to suggest that we go into closed session right away and get a report from the ED, number one. Number two, to postpone reading the consolidated, looking at the consolidated financials and set a special meeting in a week. We got these 2 hours ago, and that is not enough time for people who look at this stuff seriously to be able to, really analyze it and have a conversation about it. So those are two items for the agenda.
Okay, Kim, I didn't hear a motion yet, I don't think. And before you do, I'd like to ask you if you think those should be two separate motions.
No, they're the same because one would follow the other.
Well, Teresa, one is to postpone an item and the other is to have an immediate executive session. Just a moment, Teresa. I'll get to you in a second.
Right.
Beth, with a point of information.
Okay. I'll get to you too, Beth. I just want to settle with Kim what exactly her motion is and if it's two or one. And I would be inclined to move to separate them.
Teresa for the chat.
Kim?
Could I ask if perhaps the person making the amendment...
R. Paul, before you do that, I have an inquiry and I have someone waiting for the staff.
Okay.
So can you go after those, sir? I realize you're probably trying to... I know you're trying to make this
simpler. To make it so we don't fumble for 15 minutes over something that should take 2 seconds, okay. But okay.
I know that.
Do you want me to clarify my language, R. Paul? Is that what you're asking?
Hold on, please.
I asked you, Kim, whether you have two motions or one, and what is the language?
Okay, the language is that we go into closed session after the minutes and get briefed on the the state of the financials. And to postpone the consolidated report for a week and to set a special meeting for next week to do this.
Okay. Teresa, I'm not going to recognize you just yet. Did you get that, Arpa? Do you have language there?
Okay, what I have is to go into executive session, after the minutes and get briefed on the state of the of Pacifica's finances. Strike number six, and I'll read strike number six, review draft consolidated financials for the period ending whatever. May.
No, postpone it. Postpone it, Arpal.
Okay, no. You can't postpone. The motion is to set an agenda. If you don't want it on, you're striking that. Okay?
Separate it.
So.
Well.
And.
No, my motion is to postpone it for a week and set up a special meeting.
If we were on that, you could do it, but we're not on that. We're on set the agenda.
Okay.
Right. Our poll is pointing out that if we were on the item, you could move to postpone it, but we're on setting the agenda. So we have to do it in agenda setting language. So I think our poll has it. And we don't take seconds in committee. And I have Beth with an inquiry, and our poll, I think yours is in the nature of an inquiry as well.
Well, actually, I'm not done saying what I think the motion is, so we can all talk about the same thing. And finally, it says, and set a meeting for next week. How about, can we make that something? How about, and set a meeting? And that way we'll have a motion to have, because we can't set the meeting in the agenda per se. So why don't we just say and set a meeting now? Okay, so go into closed session after that. Strike six. Where do you want to put set a meeting if this passes? What item?
Kim?
I usually do that at the end.
Let's do it at the end so we have a better idea of what we're looking at.
What is the end of, you mean?
Well, do it after the
consolidated bank accounts?
Yeah.
No, we're going into closed session after the minutes, and then we can come back out and talk about the bank accounts.
That's fine. It's your motion.
All right, I don't have words for that right now.
I'm going to just try. Hold on, everybody, please. Hold on. I'm going to try and see if we can simplify this by making an inquiry of Stephanie. I'll note, first of all, discussing the financial situation is not a valid reason to have an executive session. There's specific things you can go into executive session for. That's not one of them. I want to ask Stephanie if she had intended in her report tonight to discuss any of the things that she might, what some of the rumors flying around might be about. Do you intend to report on any of that in your report?
I was going to report on that in the report, but some of the plans of what there possibly needs to be a motion set in place from this committee to send to the PMB regarding some reduction plans that may affect the financial situation that we're in.
Would that involve personnel?
Correct.
All right. So let's change the motion. Tim, if you would be willing, change the motion to go into executive session after the ED's report to discuss any personnel ramifications.
All right, and there may be some things she can't discuss in open as well. Okay, fine.
Exactly. That's right.
I'm I'm sorry, okay. I'm not understanding this. Say that again.
The idea is that Tim wanted to go into executive session to discuss rumors that are about concerning our financial condition.
And I want to go into executive
session also. Okay, but I pointed out to Kim that discussing finances is not a reason to go into executive session. However, there might be personnel consequences that Stephanie has suggested may be afoot. So that would be a reason to go into executive session. She even says we may need a motion to bring to the PNB. So that's a valid reason to go into executive session. And
I'm okay with it.
Okay. So, Arpal, now we're back to crafting the words. So we're going to go into executive session after PBD's report.
Why don't I read what I have?
Pardon me?
Why don't I read what I have?
Sure.
To go into executive session after report from the executive director and get briefed on the state of Pacifica's finances, to strike number 6, review draft consolidated financials for the period ending May 31, 2023. And are we putting another agenda item in there for setting a meeting or something?
Well, as I said, Paul, I'm going to move to separate. And so I'm going to do that right now. That doesn't require a vote.
Let's get all the language before you separate anything.
No, that's okay. Why I'm separating it, because I want to do them one at a time.
Okay, but we don't really have the last bit there is kind of hanging. And set a meeting. Is that what we want? Just leave it as set a meeting?
Arpal. Hello, Arpal. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay. So what I want to do is deal, first of all, with the motion to go into executive session. But we need to strike the language about reviewing the financial situation, because that's not a legitimate reason to – that's not something you should legitimately do in executive session. So we're going to go into executive session to discuss any potential personnel ramifications of the things that the ED is going to report about in open session.
Okay, so that changes that. We're no longer being briefed on Pacifica's finances. And what is this – what language do you want to put in place of that?
It'll be to discuss possible personnel consequences from the ED's report, the ED's open session report.
Point of order.
Yes, Teresa, what rule is being broken?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what you're doing. Are you saying that we're just going to vote on going into executive session right now? Because that's what I would like to do. I'd just like to get to the point.
Okay, so Teresa, that's an inquiry, and let's handle that after we get this language for a while, okay?
Okay, so what I have then is to go in, to add to the agenda, because we're discussing the add to agenda, to go into closed session, executive session, after report from the executive director, and to discuss possible personnel consequences from the executive director's report, to strike number 6, review draft consolidated financials for the period ending May 31st, 2023.
Right, that's a separate motion, Arpal. That, what you said was the first motion. That's the first motion. So can we go to a vote on that?
Okay. I don't think we quite have words here that work. So I have, again, we're setting the agenda. I have to add to the agenda, quote, go into executive session after report from the executive director to discuss possible personnel consequences from the executive director's report. Semicolon.
Correct. I think that's enough. No, period. That's
point
the first
order.
Motion.
Period.
I think she's making
period,
more than
yes.
That. She want, okay.
No, period.
You want a
period?
Period,
Arpal, period.
And
yes.
End of motion. Is that the end of motion?
End of the first
okay,
motion. Then
twice.
I'm okay with him dividing it.
Good, thank you, Tim.
Okay.
I heard Teresa
right,
make
so
a point
where do we
of
wanna,
order. Teresa,
where are we putting
hold on,
that?
Arpal, can you, Arpal.
After minutes. After ET report.
I heard a point of... Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I heard a point of order. I want to just pause for a moment and go to Teresa for her point of order, and I'm going to ask Teresa to please make a point of order this time. What is your point of order, Teresa?
Well, it just seems like we were putting some words in the mouth of the person who made the motion, because I heard the executive director say there would be some things for this, in this report that could not be stated in public session. So we're going to get an abbreviated report. Is that what you're saying?
Okay, Teresa, again, I'm going to ask you to look up what a point of order is. A point of order is when a rule is being broken, and you just kind of jump the stack.
I think it's out of order to put words in the mouth of the person making the motion, and the motion has become very long.
That's what we do when we discuss a motion. We trade words.
I'm okay with
very
it,
long.
Teresa.
It's,
I'm okay
it's
with
one
it.
Sentence. It's one sentence. Kim is okay with it. So, Arpo, I'd like to go to a vote on that item. May we do that?
Okay, let me read it so we're all very clear on what the item is, except that it here it is. To add to the agenda, quote, go into executive session after report from the executive director to discuss possible personnel consequences from the executive director's report.
Correct.
Okay.
Is there any discussion of that motion? Yes. Thank you, R. Paul. That was good. Is there any discussion?
I would just like to
hearing
say...
Hearing none. Go ahead.
I approve this, but I think that some of the things that... I think the reason for going in executive session will not be discussed in her report, but let's go with it.
Well, then we can do that when we get there. Okay. Is there any objection? Hearing none. Well, that's now part of the agenda. Thank you, R. Paul. Now, the second part of this was to strike reviewing the consolidated financials ending May 31, 2023. Let's get some language for that. Or was that enough, what I just said? Kim?
Well... Oh, excuse me. I'd like to postpone them to the next meeting and set a special meeting. So I want to add that to the agenda, and that would be after we come back from closed session.
Okay. As our Paul pointed out, you can't postpone an item until you're at the item. Right now, we're just setting the agenda. So the way to do this is to remove it from the agenda. It's not like it's going to go away. We have these financials to review, and I'm going to argue against the motion anyway, so we don't even know if it's going to be stricken. And, you know, obviously we just got them, and in our past practice, we've had the executive director walk us through them, and then we have another following discussion on them at a future meeting. So it's not either or. It's not like a binary choice. So so let's get it straight about we really can't. The motion to have another meeting will be the next item that we have on this agenda or not. So let's just deal right now with whether we're going to strike the discussion of the financials until from this agenda. Is that okay, Kim?
Okay. Fine.
Okay.
But then I want to add an agenda item saying set meeting to discuss.
That's the next one.
Consolidated.
Correct. Okay, so do you have the language there, Paul, or do we need to?
What I have is to strike review draft consolidated financials for the period ending May 31st, 2023.
Got it.
Which would take it off the agenda.
Right. Now, so that's the motion.
We have debate.
Kim, is that you agree with that? Yeah, we're about to do that. As long as Kim agrees that that's the motion.
Okay, fine. As long as I can
you,
add
Kim.
What I want to add.
Okay. Yes, you can. Okay, thank you. So now I'm going to ask for discussion And who would like to be on the stack?
R. Paul for stack.
Kim.
Okay, so R. Paul and Kim. Well, Kim should motivate if she wants to.
Yeah.
Karen for the stack.
We just received them 2 hours ago.
James, did you hear me? Sharon for the stack.
I did, Sharon. Thank you. Yes, I did. Thank you.
Right. Okay. We just received them 2 hours. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We just received them 2 hours ago. Can you hear me? You can hear me?
We hear you.
I can. We hear you.
Okay. We just received them 2 hours ago when they were 2 weeks ago. We heard they were ready. So I don't think 2 hours is enough time to go over them. I don't think the ED needs to. I don't think it's her responsibility to read these to us. I think it's the responsibility of the treasurers and the directors to review these before the meeting so we can analyze them and to have a discussion about them, not just get read the highlights. We that's our responsibility to do this, and we did not have enough time to fulfill our responsibilities, so I think we need a week to do this.
Okay. Are you done?
My motivation. Yes.
Thank you, Kim. Okay, R. Paul.
Yeah, I think the way it usually works is, you know, when do we get things way the hell in advance? Not often. And so we usually get them and we look at them right away and we get like a, you know, the coming attractions in a movie theater, to date myself. You know, here's what's going to happen. And then you can look around after the meeting and say, oh, they were talking about this and that. Let me look at all of it. So, yeah, we can certainly look at it a bit tonight. And at the next regular meeting, we can do it a lot more. So I'm going to vote against striking this item. Thank you.
That's
thank you, Apple. Yeah, I got you, Beth. Sharon?
Okay, yes. Thank you, James. Yes, I will also be voting against this motion. We've often, as I think R. Paul just said, basically always gotten the financials immediately before our meetings. I also want to point out that the financials run only through May 2023, so it's not even like they're up to date. So waiting another 2 weeks, I mean, I think analyzing them today is fine, and then if we look at them again in 2 weeks, I mean, we're talking about numbers from May, so it's not, you know, like there's a time issue involved here. And I also want to say that I did have the time to look at them, and I did understand that all the stations are losing money as of May 2023, except for KPFT, so congratulations to T. And my question would be, what analysis is needed? I mean, nothing has changed. These are just standard financials showing the continued financial decline of Pacifica, which I think we should all just get to discussing. Those are my comments.
Thank you, Sharon. Beth.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to agree with those previous speakers who supported including this agenda item in tonight's meeting. That doesn't preclude us from studying the document after the meeting and between now and whenever the next meeting is. And it doesn't preclude the committee addressing the financials further at whenever that next meeting is. We've waited since May for these, and to my mind, that's delayed. That's not current. I'm hoping that we can still anticipate the next monthly iteration of financial report, which would be for June, at the NFC meeting on the 22nd of this month, which is what I had requested from the ED back in the June meeting, just regular monthly financial reports at the second regular meeting of the month. So I would hope that this doesn't delay that any further. I do want to include it in tonight's agenda for all the reasons previously stated. Thank you.
Mac on the stack.
Gotcha, Mac. Anybody else? I'm going to put myself. Who's that? I thought I heard somebody after Mac. I'm going to put myself on after him. Go ahead, Mac.
I hate to say it, but Tim's not wrong. But the fact is, we're 40 minutes into this farce, and we haven't done a goddamn thing. So let's do something and get on with it.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to watch your language, please.
Sounds like he called the question.
No, he did not do that. I don't think you called the question in a committee. Do you, Paul?
Yeah, that's right.
A point of information. Excuse me.
Yes,
in a committee,
Teresa.
When you start getting repetitive, you can call the question.
Do you have a citation for that in Robert's Rules of Order? You don't.
I don't know the exact point, but I know that in a committee, when you start repeating yourself, you can, the chair can say, we will move on. We're going to vote on this and move on.
Could I suggest maybe that if people just talk themselves out, it'll be faster than this argument would be?
Agreed. So I'm going to now take the stack and, first of all, explain that the financials were not read, to my knowledge anyway, 2 weeks ago. However, they were ready on Thursday night for the PNB meeting, I believe. But I was having trouble with my battery during that meeting, as some of you know. And I was in and out of that meeting. And I didn't hear the part where they were ready, and I didn't see them in the email. So I was inquiring of Stephanie yesterday because I was getting inquiries from members of this committee, where are the financials for May? And I inquired of Stephanie. She said, well, she didn't say this, but basically she said, check your email. So I did that, and I found them, and I sent them around. So that's my bad that we just got them tonight, although it is still true that frequently over the years, including recently, we get the financials at the last minute right before the meeting, and it has never stopped us from taking a look at them. And then we come back to them if people have further questions. So
point of information.
I would agree with those who said that. Who was that?
Beth has a question. Point of information.
Go ahead, Beth.
I had understood that financials were supposed to come to the NFC first and be reviewed and only then be distributed to the PNB and others. Isn't that the case, or am I mistaken?
That is the case, but I think that motion said monthly financials, and these were a consolidated period for several months. But, I think we've had this question before with Stephanie, and Stephanie, I guess maybe we should just ask, could we please have a regular policy where the financials come to the NFC, the general managers, yourself, and the officers, and then we review them, and then they go to the PNB and the units and the finance committees.
This is Kim. May I be recognized?
I'm asking Stephanie a question.
Yeah, and the officers are, you said give them to the officers. Is that not the PNB?
Yeah. I'm sorry. That's right. Just the officers. You're right. Thank you.
But not the officers?
But no. Yes, the officers, but not the PNB. I misspoke. I misstated that.
Okay, so then who's considered the officers?
It's you, Heather, and Nancy.
Oh, okay.
And Julie.
I'm sorry, and Julie, of course, yes.
Not the secretary?
Nancy
Gordon?
Is the secretary. Nancy is the secretary, yes. Okay, I think I heard one more person asking for the stack. Do we still need to do that? Whoever that was? Okay, Paul, can we go to a vote? And can you state what the yes and the no is?
Okay, one second here. Okay, and let me see if I can, here it is. Okay, the motion is simply to strike number six, review draft consolidated financials for the period ending May 31st, 2023. So the motion is to strike that from the agenda. Please answer up when you hear. Yes means you want to strike it from the agenda.
Right. Yes, no, means to leave it on. Thank you.
Okay. Please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
No.
Teresa Allen.
Yes.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
No.
Amal Harris.
Yes.
Julie Hewitt.
Can I pass?
Kim Kaufman.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin, no. James McFadden.
No.
Sean Kelly McPherson.
Yes.
James Sagerton.
No.
Going back to Julie Hewitt.
I asked for it, didn't I? I think I'm voting yes.
Okay.
5-4, 5 against.
Yeah, fails anyway.
Fails anyway, okay. So that'll stay on the agenda. Now let's go to the third
now,
item.
You know the people who read this stuff.
Okay, now let's not have any commentary. Let's go to the third item, Kim, which was, I believe, you want to have put a set next meeting date on the agenda.
No, forget it. Let's move
forget
on.
It. Okay, very good. All right. So, any other discussion about the agenda? Hearing none, let's consider the agenda adopted. Okay. Back to my agenda screen. All right. That brings us to number 4 minutes. R. Paul, I understand we have some minutes.
Yes, we do. I move to approve the minutes of the July 11th and July 25th NFC meetings.
Thank you, R. Paul. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, they are adopted. As we know, they can be changed in the future if needed, if any member wants to bring notice to the committee. That brings us to number 5, report from the executive director. Stephanie, as always, this is a 30-minute item, but you can please take as little or as much time as you want.
Okay, thank you. Last time we had the Finance Committee meeting, we were discussing the payroll shortfall, health benefit shortfall, and money that was needed to pay for the secondary payment for the NES. We had the shortfalls continued throughout the remainder of that week, and KPFA stepped up and covered the $20,000 payroll shortfall. The health benefits, there's two separate benefits for the West Coast, so there's three separate health benefit policies for the West Coast and the East Coast. KPFA covered their health benefit costs. KPFK covered their health benefit costs, and we're able to put some money into covering the archives health benefits as well. And then we were just having a difficult time getting coverage for DC Health, which is the health benefits for WPFW, WBAI, the national office, and the affiliates. KPFT stepped up and provided $52,000 to help cover those
the $60,000 that was due. And they were willing to do the full 60, but then WBAI was able to provide $5,900 toward the health benefits, and then KPFT, as I said, was $52,000, and then there was a remaining $2,100 that was needed because KPFT we'd already committed and budgeted out by doing projections to just do the 52, so the remaining $2,100 was covered by the national office. The payment that was due for the second payment of our national election supervisor, the amount of money that was the first payment was $13,800 because of the slight extension of the elections. Her next payment extended her time that she would be working with us, and so the payment that was due was $15,967. The national office was able to cover that. We still were significantly behind in a amount of money that was needed for Simply Voting, which was the software or the company that deals with the electronic ballots. We had an invoice due of $20,897, of which half of it was needed. And so the national office, we didn't have the money to cover that. So the PNB passed a motion to encourage the PNB officers and the LSBs at all the stations to try to raise the money that was needed to help offset those costs. So I appreciate everyone that has been making phone calls amongst their LSBs and raising those funds. To date, what we have raised is $4,900. We've had $1,550 that has been donated by the LSBs of KPFA. We've had $0 raised from the LSB members at KPFK. We've had $1,750 from the LSB members at KPFT. We've had $400 raised by the PNB, $300 from WBAI, and $900 for WPFW, as I said, for a total of $4,900. So money has been coming in through the PayPal donate button at pacifica.org, and we've had a few people that have made a donation also through Act Blue, which is also on that page. And people, when donations are made, they've been putting in that this is, you know, I'm a delegate from KPFA or I'm a delegate from KPFT, so then we can make sure that we credit those to the stations. So I appreciate everybody who has donated so far, and also for the phone calls and outreach that they've been doing. And I will be reaching out to everybody that has made a donation just to confirm addresses that have been put in on some of those donations so we can make sure that we get the tax acknowledgement letters and thank you notes out to everybody in a timely manner. As far as the general financials, we do have some areas of concern with our aged payables. We have, as of last week, the amount of cash on hand in the bank was, through all the divisions, is roughly $290,000. Our total aged payables is a little over $2 million, but the aged payables of concern, which are things that we're either calling with the companies and the vendors to try to negotiate sort of payment schedules, or we have payment schedules and we're not going to be able to make some of those payments, is roughly about $988,000. We look like that we will probably run into another payroll shortfall this upcoming week. We have a lot of the stations that are in their fund drive right now, and they have added some extra funds to their goals in order to try to create, you know, in order to try to make up for some of these payroll shortfalls. But all the payroll funding needs to be put into place by Friday, and we've already had quite a few of the stations give us calls and let us know that, you know, how much they most likely will be short. So these are kind of conversations that Markeisha and I have on a daily basis with the stations, just so we can keep updated as to how much money is being raised and what that shortfall might be, and work with some of the other stations to see if we can figure out what we need to do to try to cover that shortfall, or if we will need to implement any sort of, as we have attempted in the past, any sort of payroll reductions across the board. So So those are things that the staff is aware of, and we talk about that. You know, we just had a general manager and director meeting this morning, so we discussed that. Another issue that is of somewhat of a concern is also due to a lack of payment, which is, again, one of the purposes why it's so important that central services be paid, because these are things that the national office usually would cover the costs for. We were informed yesterday by our insurance brokers that as of late yesterday afternoon, a majority of the insurance policies for Pacifica have been canceled due to non-payment. We still have our workman's comp insurance, and we still have the health insurance, again, thanks to the generous support from KPFT and also the funds, the dollars from WBAI and also the national office. But what have been canceled due to non-payment is the earthquake insurance in Los Angeles, the equipment insurance for all of the stations, including broadcast studio and towers, the property and casualty insurance, the general liability insurance, the excess liability insurance, and the media liability insurance. I did let everybody, the general managers, know that this morning, because one of the things that we need to determine and figure out is if we need to try to limit our exposure to liability by restricting access to the buildings by our non-employees, and if we're discussing the possibility of having to go back to the remote broadcasting where possible in order to, again, not put us in a situation where we have excess liability. I'm also working with some of the general managers and reaching out to the insurance brokers. The insurance brokers don't want to work with the stations individually because they don't want to be bombarded with phone calls, because that kind of started today when word got out to certain employees and volunteers, and they were calling our insurance brokers. And so he called me and please asked me to not have anybody call him. And any sort of questions can just come through me. And we're working on trying to get the possibility of some individual insurance for some of these things that would be covered by the stations that are able to afford it themselves. I know KPFA has their own earthquake insurance, so we're going to be working with the broker that they get that earthquake insurance from to see if we can add some of the liability. But there are some questions that, you know, have raised, again, because of that lack of insurance, on how that may affect, again, who can go into the buildings with, again, just to protect ourselves from general liability, and then also what effect this may have on some of our loans. Does anybody have any questions?
Stephanie, can you elaborate what it means about the loans?
Well, I'm awaiting word from council. I presented that question when we just found out about this yesterday of, again, the questions about liability of who can go into the building just to protect ourselves, and also the buildings that are used as collateral, that are collateralized for our two loans, now no longer have insurance. That includes, the FJC loan includes equipment and things that are inside the building as well as the building itself. So I just want to make sure that isn't, you know, I'm not an expert in this, so that's why I'm waiting for advice from our council. But it's just like if you have a car and you haven't paid for the car, you have to have insurance on the car because someone else is holding a lien to that. So I just want to see what effect that may be, that we don't have insurance on our buildings and our items within the building.
That's the possible effects that are obvious, but let's not discuss that until we hear from our lawyer. And I heard, who did I hear? Was that Sean?
Beth.
No, it was Kamau.
Kamau, sorry. Okay, I got Kamau and Beth. Anyone else?
Karen.
Karen. Anyone else? Let's go with that for now. Kamau.
Thanks, Jim. A couple of questions, yeah. Stephanie. Specifically for the coverage of the health insurance. Is that 52 or any of the amounts that were contributed towards that debt? I'm trying to determine what amount is owed back, if any, from WPFW to the contributing stations. Do we have that notated about what the specific amount that WPFW needed?
The specific amount that WPFW needed was, somebody else asked me the same question. It's roughly $28,000.
$28,000.
It's what's past due. The total amount to DC Health that we owe was actually $160,000. We currently now owe $90,171. Of that $90,000, I believe it's anywhere between 28 to 35 that is specific to WPFW.
Okay. So that's the outstanding amount right now is the 28, not what was covered under this emergency situation.
Correct. That same amount would have been due out of that $60,000 as well. With the insurance, we can't, unfortunately, just piecemeal it. You know, it's one policy for those stations. So even if, you know, like the affiliates, for example, were able to pay their insurance. And so, you know, but yet because everybody is part of the same policy on the East Coast, we can't just pay a portion of it. We have in the past, the insurance has been passed due even well before I was here, and we've come to a lot of the places many months where we're down to the wire of the possibility of losing insurance for the employees. And the insurance company in the past has allowed us to pay 1 month, and then we can kind of constantly remain 3 to 4 months behind. But because this has been an ongoing aged payable for quite a few years now, they didn't no longer want to just accept 1 month of payment. So again, usually we were able to just pay them $30,000 and be able to keep the coverage active, but this time they wanted 2 months, and they want to continue to have 2 months worth of payments moving forward.
2 months, okay. And then one additional question. On the election, I know you mentioned the amount of money that's been collected, $4,900 raised so far. Was there any unidentified monies? Because I did have a member contact me saying they contributed, but they weren't able to actually identify they didn't see where the actual note field was. It is above, it's not below. So was there any unidentified? And if so, you know how much that was?
There wasn't any that's unidentified. The reports that we pulled from PayPal gives us the addresses of individuals. The report that I pulled that was able to be pulled from Act Blue, there were 4 donations that came through Act Blue, and someone called me today and said, I gave through Act Blue. Did you receive it? And so we ended up, Markeisha was able to contact Act Blue and get a report, because we don't get the names of the individuals who donate through Act Blue, and they hold the money for a month, and then we get a check a month later for everything that has been donated through Act Blue. So she was able to pull a report for everything that came through Act Blue since last Thursday when this motion was announced, and there were 4 donations that came through. If someone didn't put a note in their donation, like this is from so-and-so, or like this one says contributed on behalf of WPFW LSB for the elections fundraiser. If something like that did not come through, I know, for example, what PNB members donated. Most of the PNB members that donated not only for the PNB, but they also donated on behalf of the LSB, so they made double donations, so I was able to see that. And then I based it off of their address, and also just names that were familiar to me that I know where they were from. And if I didn't know where they were from, then I called someone from their LSB and asked, is this person from your LSB, or is this person associated with your station, based upon their address.
Okay, so there was no real issue. If the name, if there wasn't a note, you were tracking it down. Okay, great. Thank you.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Kamau. Next we have Beth.
Thank you. I trust you all hear me.
Yes. I hear you.
Thank you. So, 2 things, Stephanie. First, I've requested these reports in writing before, and today's report is another example of why I want them in writing, because this is full of details and numbers and that matter, and it comes faster than I can write it all down, and I need to know that if I'm going to cite any of this, that I'm doing so accurately. So I'm going to request again, please, that you provide this information in writing so that we have it for future reference, so that we're all on the same page. So that's one thing. And the second is, listening just now to your response to Kamal, I'm wondering, why are we still using Act Blue if they don't identify our donors to us and they hold our money for a month? They're not the only service out there, and those would be prime features. We have to be able to do better than that. We should. I don't think we should be supporting a service that behaves that way. They know the identity of our donors, and they don't pass that information on to us. Why would we do business with them?
I don't have any interest in working with ActBlue either. There are multiple people that say we need to only receive money through ActBlue, the same number of people who say we shouldn't work with PayPal, and the same number of people say we shouldn't do PayPal, but we should do something else, or we should only receive funds through GoFundMe. I don't like getting a check later. We got the names, the thing with PayPal, as soon as a payment is made or a donation is made through Pacifica.org website, I immediately get an email that has the person's name, the dollar amount, and their address. And then I can, that same day, contact them, write a thank you note. Again, ActBlue, we had to get in, and it was the same thing where we don't really know who had the original access to it. So we had to get new usernames, new passwords in order to get those reports. So hopefully we can, sort of move forward in that direction. I'm happy to pull away from ActBlue. We'll get just as much pushback from individuals that say we should only be using ActBlue. And then as far as the written report, yeah, my fault. A lot of the information that I pull is strictly and straight from the PNB report, the ED report for the PNB. So it won't take long. A lot of that information you have already. So I can easily just update those PNB reports and send it out.
Thank you.
McFadden to the SAC.
Mr. Chair, are you on mute?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I was chatting away on mute. I just wanted to note before we go to Sharon and then McFadden that Stephanie did ask us at the PNB meeting where we passed this motion and began this process to please use PayPal. But so I assume, Stephanie, these individuals who did not must have decided that on their own, I suppose.
Yeah, the problem with the Pacifica.org page is that the top button, the biggest button for you to donate, is ActBlue, and then PayPal is down below. A lot of people don't want to use PayPal because they say they don't have a PayPal account, but you can still donate through PayPal even if you don't have a PayPal account. And then we also get charged fees if you're using PayPal. So I'm attempting to try to get the ActBlue button at least minimized and make the donate button through PayPal larger.
Yeah. But needless to say, we won't turn down any donations however they come to us, including by paper airplane. Okay. Sharon.
Okay. Hello. Thank you. Hi, Papa. Stephanie. I have a couple questions. So one question is about the EIDL loan. I was just curious if payments had been made on that or what the status is with that.
Payments have not been made on the EIDL loan. We have been formally advised that we are in default of the loan and it's being turned over to the U.S. Treasury Collections Department. We currently owe $26,193 in past due payments, with the payoff amount is $2,080,000.
Okay. Wow. So what does that mean that it's turned over to the Treasury Department? What does that mean?
I do not know. That was the official letter that we got, and I've sent them a letter and an email, and phone calls to try to figure out what we can do, or if we, you know, to let them know that we don't have the money to make those payments right now. And if we can postpone some of the possible due dates for a while. They have been difficult to get a hold of. I know our general counsel had been trying to reach them for a couple of other items prior and was having a difficult time getting through, but we're still, continuing to push through.
Okay.
See if we can
stop
that process.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay. Then the other question I have is actually about the general counsel, which is at the last, the last meeting that I was at, I asked you about the outstanding fees for the general counsel. And, you know, there had been a previous statement of $150,000, which I think was several months ago. And I believe you were going to check on that. So I'm not sure if you had an opportunity to check on that.
I don't have an invoice or a breakdown of the hours above the retainer or the retainer that we haven't paid. I know that it is in roughly just from conversations where counsel has been on the call that I know it's in excess of $120,000.
Oh, so it went down since the last time. It used to be $150,000.
I don't know where the $150,000 is. It could be. I don't know. I don't have a breakdown of work done above and beyond the hours that he's retained for.
You don't have a breakdown of he's okay. So you don't know what Pacifica is being billed for by its attorney?
I have not seen an invoice.
Interesting. Okay. And my other question is, I'm going to comment right now, I guess. That is inappropriate, and we should be getting invoices monthly from the general counsel so that we, Pacifica, have an idea of how much we are spending on attorney's fees. Really shouldn't be something that's a mystery to the corporation. So I believe we should perhaps look into that. That would be my comment on that.
Yeah,
okay.
We're also doing that with bank statements. We've been getting a lot of the stations are behind on bank reconciliation, and so we've been attempting to try to work with the stations to get their bank statements on a regular basis and assisting with them in reconciling those. And that is also one of the things that we're moving forward with, is that every expense through a station's debit card or withdrawal that doesn't have a check that's attached, even if there is a check that's attached, is that we need documentation and invoices that correspond to each of those expenses, because that's something too that hasn't happened. There hasn't been any sort of like an expense report, even though it's not, we're not reimbursing them, but we're not seeing at the national level justification for some of the expenses that are occurring at each of the stations if they have debit or credit cards.
Wow. Another shocking thing. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Yes, I really applaud your efforts to get to the bottom of that. Every expense should be documented. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's part
yeah.
of the reason why Pacifica is running a deficit. We don't document our expenses. Just a thought.
The thing is, too, is that we are kind of getting questioned a little bit also with some of the expenses, particularly as we have bills that are due or vendors that are requesting payment schedules or payment plans. We've had a few documents where we have promised that we will pay an individual or one of our vendors upon an influx of money that we may get or a bequest that comes in or anything that, any sort of money that comes in that we're able to pay off some of these vendors. There are some vendors that have asked us to supply them with notarized documents, or we have payment plans with them. And a lot of those payment plans are based upon our financials. And so when they look at certain financials, they do call me with questions of what is this expense? Why are you spending money on this? Those kind of things. So we definitely need to have, and even as we move into, we don't have the money for the audit, but as we move into the audit as well, there are certain bank statements that they'll just pull and say, okay, I want all the receipts for this month. So we just have to be prepared to have backup for all of these things. And if anything, it will just kind of ease the burden, even at the local station level, that those bank reconciliations can happen with Markeisha and myself, rather than putting that extra work on the stations. And many stations don't have business managers, so it's difficult for them to try to keep up.
And it's to protect ourselves as well, that we have justification for all of the invoices, whether they're payments to a vendor or a debit card or a payment to, you know, postage that is purchased and food that's purchased or payments to consultants. You know, we need to have invoices from them as to why they're charged, what they're charged, and why we're paying them.
Absolutely. Okay, I just have one last question, which is this. You previously said, you know, there's over 2 million in aged payables, and that of concern within the aged payables, I believe you said $988,000 of concern aged payables. And I was just wondering if you could give us at least a somewhat of a breakdown of what those of concerned aged payables are.
That I could do in closed session, so I don't name certain vendors, because every age payable to a vendor is a payable of concern.
I see.
You know what I mean? So I would hate to say, if somebody's listening, why are they of concern, but I'm not, you know, that kind of thing. Not that our vendors are listening, but who knows, you know. But I'm happy to go through the list or send it to you.